Good morning, all of you. Today we are going to be in Mark chapter 10 and looking especially at two passages where Jesus talks about children and being the first and being the greatest as well. So as we've been doing, we're going to look at the videos where that scripture is recited along with a reenactment. And we'll do that in just a little bit here as Nate's got that queued up for us. So you'll have a chance to follow along in Mark chapter 10. And our scripture this morning will be verses 13 to 16 and then verses 35 to 45. So, Nate, if you are ready to go with that, how about you push play? Let's listen to that.
And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God." Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. He put them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. And James and John, sons of Zebedee, came up to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" And they said to him, "We are able." And Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." And when the ten heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John. And Jesus called them to him and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many."
Amen. That's it. Wow, so in these passages, we see the disciples acting like children in the way that's not a very healthy way to do. And then we see children acting the way disciples are meant to behave when they're mature. So we'll look at that more closely. But first, let's go ahead and pray and ask God for the help we need as His children. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for these gospel accounts and this passage that we are looking at from the Gospel of Mark. May your Holy Spirit give us insight and understanding. May you give us comfort and challenge as we need it. I pray that you'd also move us as we understand who you are, what you have for us. Amen. This is the big idea from the combination of these two passages and how they are actually related to each other this morning. Childlike lowliness empowers true greatness in genuine and humble service to others. So childlike lowliness empowers true greatness. Let's look more closely. First of all, that first short passage with just a few verses from 13 to 16, where the kids are coming to Jesus. But for a little while, imagine yourself as one of Jesus' 12 disciples, one of the inner group. You're living with Jesus each day, keeping a crazy schedule. In fact, sometimes you don't even have time to eat. That's kind of a downside. Admittedly, it can be annoying. But amazing things are happening. Sick are healed. Deaf people are hearing. Blind are seeing. Even the wind and waves obey your master. And then pompous leaders are finally put in their place. Your leader's teaching is just astonishing crowds. People are hanging on his words. And the food. First that wine at Cana, and then the delicious bread and fish. So you are persuaded. Your master is the one who will finally overthrow the Roman tyranny and bring justice. He's the one who's going to finally raise Israel to greatness once more. He's going to smash the evildoers and reward his followers, of which you are one of the closest. You're on the inner circle of the man at the center of all this excitement. So, it's exciting, an exciting time. And it's a very weighty time, high stakes. You never know what is going to happen next. But obviously, there is not a moment to lose. Then, overcome the children. Those nuisances. You know, actually, though, you have to be honest, it's really not their fault. What are their parents thinking? They need to keep control of these kids. Come on, guys. Don't you understand that Jesus is busy? That he has better things to do than fraternize with kids? Good thing that he has friends like you to help with the paparazzi problems like this. Sorry, Jesus. Come on, guys, that's enough. Leave him alone. And then, Jesus is indignant. That doesn't happen very often. But wait, he's upset at you. Not the parents. Not the kids. At his own helpers. You who are just trying to help keep the flies from swarming? What is going on? And then before long, in Jesus' response, yet another bombshell. He tends to do this in what he says. Jesus says that to be part of his kingdom, you need to be like one of these kids. What is going on? What on earth? All right, you can step back to present day. Because today, in our culture, children are more commonly idealized. Sometimes even idolized. They're frequently viewed as innocent. In books and movies, they're unquestionably significant, valuable. Of course, frequently in practice, they're overlooked and downplayed, and their well-being is not taken into account in our culture. But in theory, at least, our culture has a high view of children. Anything for the children. What's best for the kids? But even the acknowledgement of children's value in our day is not something that we should project onto first century Palestine. Even though the Jews had the Old Testament scriptures with the healthy affirmation of children's value, children is a blessing from God, functionally, they were viewed the way that these disciples viewed them. Insignificant. Disruptions to manage. Lesser. Then Jesus says, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all. Wow. Let's consider some of the implications of Jesus' statement here. Now, Jesus is not encouraging us to be self-absorbed and immature. Instead, the great paradox is the more we grow in childlike dependence, the more mature we will be in Christ. So, what does childlike dependence look like? You can't enter the kingdom unless you receive it like a child. How does a child receive? For the last 12 years or so, I've been receiving an education on this subject. And actually, well before that, I was a practicing professional. And so were you at one time. But we all need to brush up on our skills. What does it mean to receive like a child? Well, I've got four aspects to reflect on related to that question. Childlike receiving, first of all, is meritless. Our two-year-old will often come to our room in the middle of the night. Can I have some water? Or, I want to sleep with you. Or, can you sleep with me? And during the day, you might hear her say, Dad, can I have some chocolate? Or, can I have some strawberries? Or, can I have some ice cream? Now, each of these requests needs to be carefully processed according to the varying factors involved. But the simple reality is that this child knows what she wants. And without any consideration of the time, the mental status of the caretaker, or other seemingly reasonable influential factors, she seeks what she wants. And she never reasons with me, Dad, I was a good girl yesterday, therefore, can you give me what I want? Not at all. Instead, it is simply based on our relationship to her, based on who we are. So at a young age, this is natural and subconscious, but when we get older, we must relearn to approach God this way, without any self-merit. Nothing is earned. Nothing is deserved based on our record. Rather, it's His sheer grace that's our hope. So childlike receiving is meritless. Secondly, childlike receiving is creditless. What does that mean? Well, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7, Paul says, For who regards you as superior? And what do you have that you did not receive? And if you received it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? See, a child has no resume. There's no, here's what I've accomplished, here's what I bring to the table, here is why you should want me. But they don't care. Before God, we never need a resume. In fact, we must not have one. It only gets in the way of our relationship with Him. But naturally, we can try to write one. We can try to establish one. Why is that a bad idea? Because it's deluded. It acts as if we can receive from Him based on our self-accomplishment. But according to Scripture, everything we do for God is a gift from God. Everything we give to God is first a gift from God. Everything good at all is a gift from God. So to put it another way, we are boastless except in Christ. Or, as the Scripture says, we're boastless except for the cross of Christ, through which every single blessing and gift of God flows to us. So, childlike receiving is also creditless. No self-achievement before God, having nothing but what has been given. Thirdly, childlike receiving is from helplessness. A child is powerless outside the support and provision of the caretaker. There's no self-sufficiency, no pretense to it. This is at the heart of the Christian faith, helplessness. I remember a time over 20 years ago when I was praying alone with God. I was at a place spiritually where I was finally taking God's will, His call, seriously. And the problem with that is that as I faced it, the weight of it seemed simply too great. Love God, with all your being, all the time. Treat people as you wish they would treat you, etc. And I remember telling God something like, I can't do it. I can't do it. And after I said that, words came to my mind. You're not supposed to be able to do it. I must be all, give all, do all. And do you know what? That's just like what Scripture says. Apart from me, you can do nothing, Jesus says, John 15:5. Or 2 Corinthians 3:5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as coming from ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. And 1,000 other verses along the same lines. We are powerless to do God's will from the heart outside the support and provision of our caregiver, outside of the true vine to whom we are connected. And God designed it that way. So receiving like a child is from helplessness in ourselves. But that leads us into the final trait that childlike receiving, fourthly, is unreserved. There's unreserved asking, especially when they're young. The request of a child throughout the day can be countless. Dad, can you help me? Can you play with me? Can I jump on the trampoline? Can I have a piece of candy? I need help. My sister so-and-so did such and such to me, implying, vindicate me, rescue me, just like the Psalms. So God has designed our lives as His children, such that if we don't learn to ask and receive regularly, we will be buried. We'll be overwhelmed. There's so much pressure, the responsibilities of the day. People will mistreat us. And God's calling is a high one. So we can hardly survive, let alone thrive, without this pattern. And a child receives with no concern of how often or how much, no fear of over-asking or receiving too much, constant receiving, no thought of debt or repayment. And why is that? Because the relationship exists in an entirely different category. It's not a borrower-lender relationship. It's not a government and welfare recipient relationship. So that means that there's no calculation of interest and cost. There's no shame in receiving too much or in becoming overly dependent. None at all. No concern about being overly indebted. Instead, it's a personal relationship of warm affection between a child born of grace, and then a rich and powerful and generous Father. That's what we're talking about spiritually, such that Jesus can say, do not be afraid, little flock, because your Father delights to give you the kingdom. Luke 12:32. So, unreserved receiving, asking, receiving. Childlikeness in this way leads us to depend as a way of life. And so remember, Colossians 3:6, just as you have received Christ, so walk in Him. And then there's this profound connection to what Jesus tells His disciples about His calling to them. Receiving all we need from Jesus enables us to take the servant's place, helping people rather than using them, comparing with them, competing with them. Do you see the logic between those two? The freedom of childlike dependence empowers us to serve and give. We have a similar connection illustrated in Mark chapter 9, where the disciples are walking along, arguing about who's the greatest. And Jesus asks, "What were you talking about on the way?" And they're silent. They don't want to admit it. Oh no, he overheard that. So Jesus calls the disciples over, and he points out that's the wrong way to be childlike. But what he says is this. He calls the 12 and says, if anyone wants to be first, he must be last and servant of all. And he took a child and had him stand among them. And taking him in his arms, he said to them, whoever welcomes one little child such as this welcomes me. See, by nature, we are inclined not to serve, but to use people, using them to fill ourselves, to prop ourselves up. And parents can easily do this with their own children. And pastors can easily do this with their own people. As adults, we would never say it directly, but the unspoken hunger can be, affirm me, validate my significance, feed my hungry soul in one way or another. But the childlikeness that Jesus commends sets us free through our connection with the Lord himself. Look at Mark chapter 10, verse 16. He took them in his arms, the children, and blessed them, laying his hands on them. Jesus did that literally with these little children. But he invites each of us to be as little children before him. And he invites us into his arms now, spiritually, with words like, come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. He invites us to come with no pretense, no sophistication, into his arms. Us, to be kids, to be near him, as freely as a child. It's only little kids who would climb up into your lap without any self-consciousness. But spiritually, Jesus invites us to that heart toward him, to receive his blessing, to come close. Not because of our performance, not because of our progress, but through the cost that he endured so we could become his. He bought that right for us, the right to become children of God. So he invites us because of his love. So like these children we read about, that we heard about, go near simply because of who he is. And because of who you are now to him through his sacrificial love. A child of God yourself, greatly loved by the Father. Do you see how freeing that is? Be a child. You're supposed to live as a child before him. Only the child is prepared for kingdom greatness. Why is that? Our childlike dependence allows for both humility and happiness, both soul freedom and zero superiority. Security in Christ and no superiority toward others. So childlikeness before God gives us the humility of zero superiority toward other people. Because if I'm meritless myself, if I'm helpless, honestly, then I can't look down on others. There's no one below me. I'm at the bottom myself. For example, I can't see physical children as inferior, whether they are unborn or newborn, or toddlers, or terrible twos, or tens, or teens. They are precious. They're equal in value to me as an image bearer of God, my Father. And after all, I'm a child myself. So this pattern applies not just to kids, but to anyone else who has less power, less social capital than us, whether that's the poor or the immigrant. This is the pattern we see in Scripture. And then on the other hand, the attractive or well-to-do or the cool crowd, whoever that is for you, doesn't need to hold greater sway over you because you're not depending on them because of your child status before the Lord. Instead, we see all human beings as equal because they have the same Creator. Even fallen sinners have the mark of God's image. He's still the one creating human beings, even after the fall. So every human is a work of God. So childlike dependence humbles us before other people. Since we have no merit ourselves, no self-sufficiency before God ourselves. But we aren't inferior to any either, because we have the security of being welcome into Christ's arms, the King of Kings himself. In fact, united to him. So it's unearned, it's undeserved, and yet freely and fully given. That's why being childlike poises you for kingdom greatness. Let's close looking at that. Jesus said, even the Son of Man came, even the Son of Man came, not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus actually lived as the most mistreated human being in history because of who he was and the disconnect between how people treated or respected him. But he served humanity, he served us from the wellspring of childlike dependence on the Father. And then his service ransomed us to be his sons and his daughters. And now he invites us to join the same pattern. So let's look at these words about being first and greatest. Whoever wishes to be first, whoever would be greatest. At first, those words might knock us off guard. Like, wait a minute, should I want to be first? Should I want to be greatest? Well, in this case, yes. First, in this context, means someone who leads. And picture a line, someone who's in front. But what that means in this context is taking on sacrificial responsibility for others' good. It's not an entitlement. It's a responsibility. It's an opportunity to benefit other people. And again, there's no superiority in this kind of firstness. It's something that is good to want. It's a mark of maturity to want and take on sacrificial responsibility for others, not just yourself. As you grow in maturity, that desire to take responsibility for others' well-being grows. And that's the kind of firstness that Jesus is talking about, the kind that he commends. The difference between worldly leadership and the kind that Jesus embodied is that unless you are humble and genuinely care about people, you won't want the kind that Jesus lived and taught. If you understand the kind of leadership that he calls us to, because it is not an entitlement. It's easy to want worldly leadership because it feeds ambition and comes with privileges that can be easily leveraged, easily abused, and Jesus alluded to that. He said, you know how the Gentile rulers lord it over them, but it is not so among you. Whoever wishes to be first will be the slave of all. So, the fact is that many throughout the history of the church and to this day do seek leadership still for the corrupted reasons, and that exists very frequently within spiritual circles, sadly. But because it exists doesn't mean it embodies what Jesus is talking about. Rather, Jesus said, "Whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. Whoever would be great among you must be your servant." The leadership that Jesus embodied lays down its life for others' well-being. It's an avenue for sacrificial investment in other people's good. That's the kind of firstness that we should desire. What about greatest? Should you want to be the greatest? Again, it's not talking about being better than others, but it is the best that you can be. It refers to fulfilling the highest purpose and potential for which you exist, which is reflecting the delightfulness of God uniquely and profoundly. That's why you exist, to reflect the delightfulness of God uniquely and profoundly. Yes. May God help you to be your greatest, the greatest you are meant to be, the greatest that you can be in union with Christ, to reflect Him and share Him. Jesus does want you to be a great person. You are meant to be a great man. You are meant to be a great woman, as He defined it, as He embodied it. And this kind of leadership, this kind of greatness, they have the same basis as one another, which is childlikeness. Childlike dependence. Receiving of Jesus, His words, His love, His power and provision. All the time, every area, unlimited. You can't receive too much from Him. It's your duty to rack up debt to Jesus, never to be repaid, because He's the fountain of life. Come to Me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And He says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to Me and keep coming and drink and keep drinking. The one who believes in Me, from his heart will flow rivers of living water. That's where it comes. That flowing of the Spirit is that service to others. So be a child. Be more dependent. Rest in union with Jesus. Drink more deeply. Like a little child, receive all the time, more fully, more often. Then join Jesus as the one who serves. May it be so. Let's pray. Oh, Jesus, we worship You as the servant of all, the Creator, the King, the all-glorious One, yet who came not to be served, but to serve and give Your life as a ransom for many. We praise You for serving us in the ultimate way so that we could become children to You, before You, of God, and become Your bride, Your followers. So may we join You, Lord, out of the freedom of that childlike receiving. Help us to trust and believe and act accordingly. Amen.